Amen. I believe. Wonderful word, a wonderful song of confession. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 4. We're continuing to see the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in the life of a believer. An example of how when the disciples, when the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Now, Day of Pentecost, when we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what we usually think about. That's usually what we point to. They spoke in other tongues. People heard in their own dialect, their own language, and they were able to experience and understand the gospel in a way that they had never experienced it before, and some 3,000 people were saved. Well, we're continuing on, and in several times it talks about how the disciples, and particularly Peter and John, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened to them was not that they were speaking in tongues, but they were living in boldness. They were transformed from the scaredy cats they were when Jesus was crucified to mighty men of God standing before the Sanhedrin, before Caiaphas and Annas, who were the high priest and the whole family and all the leaders of Israel, and standing before the ones that crucified Jesus just a few months earlier, standing before them declaring the gospel, proclaiming the truth unashamedly, unabashedly, unafraid. And as we look at this, I think this is the biggest takeaway we need to take away from this early church and what happened in the first chapters of Acts, that they were transformed from people who were ashamed of Jesus, ashamed and afraid of being associated with Jesus, to being people who were standing true, standing strong on the truth of who Jesus is, and declaring the truth of who Jesus is and living like it was real. See, that's the difference. And I think that's what needs to happen and has to happen in the church today, for us to not just confess we believe, but to live like we believe. To live in confidence of the gospel, in confidence of God's power, in confidence of God's ability. Not confidence in ourselves, not confidence in our programs, not confidence in great speaking or great music, but confidence in the power and the presence of God to transform lives, beginning with us. Well, we're in the middle of chapter 4 as Paul, or excuse me, I keep going to Paul and all these other names, but it's Peter and John. And they have spoken into the life of this man who was paralyzed, and they boldly, confidently said, "Take up your bed and walk." Get up and walk. That takes some confidence that Jesus is going to do what He says He's going to do. That the power that you experienced when they were walking with Jesus as He sent them out two by two, said they healed the sick, they cast out demons, they did all kinds of things. They had done it before, but they lost confidence when Jesus died. Now the Holy Spirit's come, they've regained their confidence and even more boldness, and they again declare, "Get up and walk in the name of Jesus." And I'm telling you, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when today, if Oak Grove Baptist Church would be filled with the Holy Spirit, would live in the confidence, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we would see amazing things happen. Even the miraculous. If we would just simply follow God in confidence. Not, "Well, I don't want to say this. I don't want to declare this. I don't want to do this because I just don't know if God's going to show up. You know, He may not be..." I'm as guilty as anybody else, but we're a bunch of mealy-mouthed Christians. We make excuses for why God doesn't show up. We start crawfishing before God ever has a chance to do something amazing, because we just don't want to step out and put ourselves out on a limb for Jesus. Well, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no limb too small for us to get on when God leads us there. There's nothing that God cannot do. We say that all the time, but do we really believe it? Well, Peter and John believed it. The disciples believed it. All the Christians at this time believed it because they were living it out. They were walking in confidence. They were living in confidence. They were speaking with confidence. And we looked at last week, they had the confidence in those verses where they were standing before the Sanhedrin. They had the confidence to make the hard choices that said, hey, whether it's right for us to listen to you and sit down and be quiet or to obey God, you decide, but we cannot be silent. We must speak of the things we've seen and heard. So they had the confidence to make the hard choices and to do what needed to be done to further the kingdom of God. Well, here we're going to see a couple of examples of more confidence here. Verses 23 through 31 is what we're going to be looking at today. And we're going to read and see as they continue, and as the last week we wound up where they warned them to not say anything and sent them away. And now what happens next? What do you do when those who are bigger than you, who are stronger than you, who have the ability to personally harm you, what do? When they say, sit down and shut up? You can go, but you better be quiet. Well, let's stand and let's see what happened to Peter and John. Beginning in verse 23, it says, when they had been released, they went to their own companions. They went to the other Christians, the other church. It says, and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they went back to the church and they said, look, guys, they gave a report. Look, this is what they said. They said, we've got to sit down. We've got to shut up. We cannot speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Okay, guys, so we just need to shut the door. No. Listen to what they did. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. O Lord, it is you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Oh God, that this place would shake, that our hearts would be shaken, God, that our comfort would be shaken. Oh God, that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit and we would boldly speak the name of Jesus. Lord, the courts are saying we can't talk about Jesus in the public arena. The courts and the powers that be are saying we can't proclaim the name of Jesus at school, at our workplace, in public. God, may we just bring it to you. And as your servants did in the early church, God, may we bring the threats to you. God, you know what's going on. Lord, you're in control. All we ask, God, is that you would give us the faith to be bold. Not to be hateful. Not to be vindictive. But to boldly declare the love of God demonstrated through Jesus Christ. Oh, that your church today would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let it begin in me. Let it begin at Oak Grove, where your church meets. Let it filter out. Let it begin at other churches where bodies of believers gather together. May your Holy Spirit begin to fill our hearts and our lives. May we be so passionately consumed with you, God, no matter what the world says, we cannot be silent. That, Lord, that through the power of your hand, there would be amazing miracles taking place, that healings would take place, the sick would be brought back to health, the lame would walk, the broken would be mended, families and marriages would be restored and brought back together, addictions would be broken, lives would be radically transformed. Oh God, may it begin in me. May it begin in your church in this place. And may it happen all over our area, our state, and America. May your people quit just saying we believe and live like we believe. And God, we trust that you will do all that you said you would do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 19, we saw where they had the confidence to make the hard choices. In verse 23, we see where they have the confidence in God's faithfulness. When they were told to be quiet, they were sent away with a threat of more persecution and possibly death. They went out and instead of hiding, instead of going and saying, okay guys, we got to shut the doors. Okay guys, we got to calm it down. Okay guys, we got to kind of dial back on this Holy Spirit thing, and we got to kind of dial back this gospel thing. We got to kind of dial back and be more cautious in where we go and who we talk to and how we declare and what we say to people. We've got to make sure we dial it back now. Instead of saying that, they had confidence in the faithfulness of God. Look what they said in verse 23. It says, when they were released, they went to their companions. They told them everything that the chief priests had said, but then they all together began to pray. And I'm telling you, when we experience resistance, when we begin to experience more and more opposition to the gospel, and I'm just going to tell you, it's coming. There's no doubt in my mind. All the evidence points in that direction. The Word of God points in that direction, that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get better before Jesus comes. And the true church is going to have to stand up. I'm fully convinced that it's not going to be too long from now that the true church is going to be revealed. Because there's coming a time shortly where your tithe is no longer going to be tax exempt. You're going to tithe when you don't take it off on your taxes? There's coming a time where you're going to be arrested if you stand in the pulpit or you stand in the public square and begin to declare, this is what the Lord says. This is what God says. This is what God says marriage is. Preaching the gospel and the truth of God is going to become hate speech soon. I'm fully convinced that that's going to happen. So are we preparing ourselves? Do we believe that God is faithful? Do we believe that God is bigger? I'm telling you, I did something I wish I hadn't have done because I can't get it out of my mind now. I looked on the internet and I began to search. I wanted to just see, because I began to imagine and think about these 21 Christians that were beheaded. And I sought until I found the unedited version of them getting their head cut off. Because I wanted to see, I wanted to know, I wanted to feel the revulsion of seeing people, and I wanted to see what it looked like for true Christians to willfully give up their life for the name of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, I am amazed at these 21 Christians. I don't recommend you do it, but I needed to. As a pastor, as someone who preaches and hopes that if it comes to that, I'd be able to do that, that encourages you and other Christians to be willing to do that. It's scary. It's gut-wrenching. I cannot imagine what was going through those men's minds. But I also looked up a video as Christians in the Middle East were interviewing brothers and relatives of these Christians who were martyred, who were killed, and hearing that they're glad that they had the faith to stand and not reject Jesus, not to denounce Jesus, not to denounce their faith, that it's increased the family's faith that these were willing to die for the name of Jesus. And said that it's increasing the resolve and the faith of their families and their towns and other Christians who are faced with that same possibility in the Middle East. They died for their faith, but God still uses that to increase the faith of other Christians. I'm telling you, it's coming. Even in America, it's coming. And waiting until that point to begin to try and have the confidence, to try and develop the intestinal fortitude to not deny Jesus, it's too late if you wait till then. We must be about making sure our confidence in God is true now. If we wait till then, oh, I'm afraid so many of us will fall short. We'll give in to the temptation to deny Jesus, to hang on to this life. Well, these guys, when they came back to the church, the initial response, the response that the entire church has, it says they heard this, they lifted their voice to God with one accord. All of them together began to take this trouble, begin to take this problem, begin to take this threat to the Lord. And their prayer was, God, don't deliver us from this threat. God, don't stop this threat. God, don't cause these people to be done away with. But God, in the face of this threat, let us be bold. And see, that's what I want to develop in my own faith, in my own life. And that's what I want our church here at Oak Grove to come to the place and begin to develop our faith, that we truly do believe and have confidence in the faithfulness of God. Not that He's going to take our troubles away, but in the face of our troubles, in the face of opposition, in the face of people telling us to sit down and shut up, to telling us to stop being so vocal, to stop being so active and forward and moving with the gospel and reaching out beyond the walls, and let's just settle down, let's do like we used to do. In the face of that, let us go to God and say, God, help us be bold no matter what the opposition. And that was their prayer. They had such confidence in God's faithfulness that they went to Him and said, Lord, let us be bold. They began to repeat to Him. They reminded themselves and reminded of God, the God that they serve, in their prayer. It says, O Lord, it is You who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in it. It is You who, by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of David, Your servant, said, why do all these people bring up plans against You? In verse 27, they said, it is You who sent Your Son to die. It's You who sent Your Son to be denied by His own people. It was You who sent Your Son to be killed at the hands of the Romans and the Gentiles and the Jews. It was You who orchestrated all of it, even the death of Your Son. Now, take note of their threats. God, you hear what they're saying. You know this because You know everything. God, we're not telling You anything that You don't already know. You're not surprised by anything that's going on. God, You know this. God, just let us be bold in the midst of it. Let us be bold in the face of it. Let us not cower down. Had confidence in God's faithfulness, confidence in God's power, confidence in God's provision. But that confidence caused them to keep on keeping on. Look what it says. And when they had prayed, the place where they were had gathered was shaken. Again, it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Man, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when we're going to have to be bold. It's not just the threat of people thinking we're nuts. It's not just the threat of people slamming a door in our face. It's not going to be just the threat of people telling us, oh, I'm not interested, in rejecting our friendship and our invite to the cross of Jesus. We're going to have to stand in the face of possibly being killed, being arrested, being thrown into prison for hate speech because we stand up for the truth of God's Word. See, too often we pray that God will make things safe. We pray that God will make things easy and will make things comfortable. We pray that God will remove our problems or remove the obstacles to the gospel. God, remove all these troubles and all these hardships. When true faith and true confidence is, God, in spite of what comes, let me be bold. That's true faith. That's God-honoring confidence. And I pray that we will live in the confidence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking the truth in love, boldly going to the darkness, to the dangerous places, to the hard places, to the uncomfortable places, with the gospel, which is the only hope of salvation for mankind. It breaks my heart when I hear people say, "Well, I would never go there. It's too dangerous." It breaks my heart because it's just shouting out, I don't love Jesus enough to go there. I would never go and risk my life. I would never go and risk my finances. I would never go and... What do you believe? What do you think it is that God has called us and saved us to do? To take the light into the darkness. The darkness isn't supposed to be inside the four walls. The darkness is in the dangerous place. It's in the uncomfortable place. It's in the hard place. And we as the church must have the confidence in God, the belief in God that goes beyond these four walls, that goes beyond the easy believism that we've settled into. And we've got to be bold in the face of hatred and anger and opposition, in the face of the world, so that we can take the light into the darkness. When we are, God's going to show up and do His part. God strengthened them. God gave them boldness. And because they were bold, because they put feet to their faith, because they were willing to go in the face of opposition and declare the truth, then the truth had teeth. It had weight. It had meaning. The people stood up and paid attention because these people could die for what they're saying. So they really must believe what they're saying. These people are in the face and possibly getting kicked out of the synagogue. But they're willing to stand up for what they believe and boldly profess this love and this grace and this Jesus. There must be something to it. Man, if you read just a few verses on, I hope you're reading ahead, that there were constantly people being added to the church. Constantly being people added to the church. I think we don't see many salvations because we don't see much boldness. I think we don't see many salvations because we're afraid to share the gospel because people will laugh at us or ridicule us or reject us or mock us. Or we might offend somebody. Oh, that we would live and pray, God, make us bold with Your word. It's my prayer for us. It's my prayer for me, because I need it just like You need it. We need it as a church so we can make a difference. Let's be bold. Let's pray for boldness. Let's lead out in boldness. Let's be willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ and for the salvation of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that Your Holy Spirit is available to us. I'm so thankful that Your power to transform lives is available to us. I'm so thankful that Your power to heal the sick is available, that Your power to raise the broken and the lame is available to us. I'm so thankful that your power to break the chains of addiction are available to us. God, I also am so broken over the fact that we don't see miracles happen. We don't see your power in our lives because we play it safe. Because we hedge our bets. Because we sit down and shut up too often. And oh God, forgive me for my lack of boldness, my lack of confidence in you. Forgive us as a church for our lack of confidence in our love for comfort. Forgive us for our lack of sacrifice in our love for financial security. Oh God, forgive us for our lack of obedience and our love for safety. I pray, oh God, that you would make us bold to speak your word, bold to go into the darkness, bold to go into the dangerous places, bold to bring your truth, your power, your presence to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that we would see such an awakening of your Spirit in our hearts and our lives. I pray that we would live in the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit in such a way that people take notice, that people's interest is piqued, and they see the difference you make. Oh God, that we would be a people filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we love you. We want to be used by you. Give us the faith and opportunities to prove it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand, we're going to have a time of commitment, a time of response, a time of dedication, a time of whatever it is you need to do with God.